Are we on, Terry? Okay, we're up. I wanted to tell you something this morning, if you're not aware of it. The desire of the Lord is here right now. The desire of the Lord is here. His desire is made manifest among us right now. His desire, His love, His compassion, His desire is made manifest right now. It's in the spirits of just men that are being made perfect. If you are seeking God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, you are a just man seeking the perfection of God. If you are obedient, you are a just man seeking the perfection of God. If you trust God, you are a just man seeking the perfection of God. I'm trying to get you to understand that your opportunity for the desire of the Lord to become manifest in you, because that's what you want, right? You want His desire to be manifested in you. And the desire of the Lord is different than our desire. We desire many things, don't we? And we call it a lust, don't we? A lot of times we lust after things. But do you know there's a pure lust? Sounds funny, doesn't it? But it's a pure desire of the Lord. It's something that He wants with all of His heart to bring forth in you. How do we know that? Because He placed His Son in you. If He didn't have that desire, He would never have placed His Son in you. He put Him in you for a reason, because He wants His desire to be fulfilled. Now, guess what the arbiter of all that is? Your will. God places the opportunity. He places the Spirit. He places the Son in the place in you. And then by your will or by your desire, you let Him know which way you're going to go. Isn't that true? There is a decision that has to be made. I said this the other night. I'm going to keep saying it. Time to make decisions. Time to make decisions for God. Very important to do that. So the desire of the Lord is here. It is here among us right now. I think of these daughters, because they don't belong to just Ernest and Eveline, but the time they've spent here listening to the Word. I think about my grandson listening to the Word. I think about a little bit over there listening to the Word. Not much getting in right now because there's too many other active things, but she will be listening to the Word. But the thing that's very important is that we understand that the desire of the Lord starts early in us. And it starts, let me read a scripture to you. And we were talking about this with Jacob a week or two ago. And I'm not even going to tell you where I'm at. You don't need to go. Just listen to me. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Wow. As newborn babes, huh? A lot of people here don't want to consider themselves as newborn babes, but you have to start off somewhere, don't you? If you start off as a babe, is there not opportunity to grow? This is what God wants. We grow in the wisdom and stature of the Lord. But how do we all start off? Even in the natural, we start off as what? Newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the Lord. Not saying that we're staying on it, but we desire that. Once you desire the sincere milk of the Lord and start following that, you will grow very rapidly. It's not like a physiological growth that we have here. It takes many, many years for our children to grow up to be teenagers and young adults, right? But in God, exponentially, you can grow much faster by believing the things of God. Timothy was a young man, but because he followed Paul, he grew exponentially faster than men that were chronologically older than he was, if you stop and think about it. because he was his son in the gospel. Do you think that means just someone that follows him around and learns from him? Or do you think he was a son in him from the beginning? That's why. It was noted the type of upbringing that Timothy had. Now, why am I saying this? We're still talking about grace. This is what God is showing us about how things manifest in us. Do you realize that as parents, how you perform, I'm going to say it that way, and manifest things toward God, it's going to directly affect your children. Isn't that true? As they see you, do they learn more from what they see than what you tell them? You know, if you're real with them, then that's going to make a big difference, huh? And so if they can see things moving in your life in manifestation, will that help them to believe that things can move in their life in manifestation? Now, we have some that are going to be separated from us here in the near future and going on into life. But do you realize I have a confidence in that word, that that word's going to pop up every time it needs to? The words their parents taught them, the words we said here, words others said, apostles that have been here. Do you think an apostle's word falls to the ground? Uh-uh. Once again, the will is what comes in, huh? Those things that have been spoken were seeds. There was a sowing that took place. And sometimes those seeds don't come up immediately. They'll come up maybe years afterwards in some cases, huh? But here's the thing. I'm going to tell you something that happens with us. As we go through the manifestation of things in this physical world, those words will pop up when we need them. The very time you need them, they'll pop up. It's amazing, huh? Because that's how God does it. He plants them so they'll come up at the correct time. That's why you take no thought, because the Spirit is what guides what when they come up. Isn't that cool? The Spirit is what brings it up at the proper time. The Spirit of God is over all. It knows all things. So think about this. We started off with, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile. Is there a part we play in this? We have to lay it aside, huh? I don't commit malice. Every time you think wrong or judge wrong or condemn yourself or another, malice is working. When you look side, my wife has an expression, people talking out of the side of their neck, because, you know, it's not coming from the head. They're just going by emotion or they're saying things. You know, she said, man, he's talking out of the side of his neck. That's right. You're not allowing the mental capacity to be able to reason to work. And I'm talking about in God. Because sometimes we'll speak things and forget that God has taught us differently than that. Isn't that true? Because we're so bound up in what we want by our flesh and our lust, we forget the word of God. And people say, do you forget? Yes, you actually forget it at the time. It's not coming forth for you. It's in darkness. But there is a remembrance that'll come forth as soon as your will starts to change. Isn't that true? He said, I'll bring all things back to your remembrance. Whatsoever I've what? Said unto you, right? Will he do it? He will. But what if you shut him out in darkness because your will is preeminent? There's a lot of forgetting that takes place then, huh? Yeah, I used to know those things. Now I don't know them anymore. Why don't you know them anymore? There's been a thing about perdition taking steps back. Have we talked about this before? One of the most deceptive things there is perdition. You know why? Because it doesn't happen all the time like this. It's slow steps backwards. And you still think you're standing in the same place. But you've already been removed from it. Slow steps backwards. And so little things start adding up to where you get to the point you don't even want to talk about God or think about God, because it puts you in a condemnation, because you know you're not doing what you're supposed to do. So what happens is, this is that self-fulfilling thing again. These things start working in your life, and then the grace of God cannot work because you've put the stumbling blocks there to keep it from working. Grace is a powerful thing. It's the action of God working in your life. You're allowing him to work. So putting aside, laying aside all malice and all guile. You know what guile is kind of like? It's kind of like being very cunning. Guile, you know, you just kind of come up beside somebody and you put yourself forth. This is how it happens a lot of times as a friend, and really you're the devil himself. And you're speaking things by guile, by a cunningness that overcomes that person in an unawareness. And the next thing you know, they're believing you. We were talking about somebody yesterday like that, weren't we? They have a way of using their guile, and they draw close to you and they do it in the name of the Lord and say, God told them this and told them that. Well, that's how someone with guile would have to work, huh? If they're going to deceive you. When another scripture says all bitterness and guile, don't let those things be brought forth in you. But this is very important. And hypocrisies, whew, man, is that a big one? The Lord said, he told him about the Pharisees one time. He says, do as they say, but don't do as they do. And then he turned right around and he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, because it's insincerity and hypocrisy. There's no truth in it. But outwardly, it will look like truth. That's the thing that's so deceptive about it. Were they not religious men that prayed and went forth, long robes, all of these things, huh? It was an amazing thing. People like to talk against religions that have been formed here, but I just want to give you a thought about something. We watched a movie yesterday that I thought it was very eye-opening spiritually. It was something that happened in history here. But then I heard something, and I've known this before, but it brought it back to my memory. It was about a Nazi that escapes after he helps to kill millions of Jews. And he escapes to Argentina. But guess how he got there? A Roman Catholic priest hid him, put him through a network that had been set up by agreement between Hitler and the Pope before the Second World War, and had an underground thing that shuttled Nazis from Germany to South America to help them escape. Catholic bishops, priests, and cardinals helped them escape. They don't like to talk about that history. So what am I saying to you right now? Can religion be so hypocritical that it will call evil good and good evil? Yes, it will. And we had an example here in the physical earth. But what if I was to tell you it's even worse in the carnal realm? Because what happens is it declares God all the time, and yet at the same time, it's always following its own flesh and lust in order to gain what it wants to gain. But it declares God out of its mouth all the time. It's thought, guys. It's reasoning. It's manifestation of your own intellect. What you think, I know that. I got this, right? I know it. I already know what it is. Do you really realize that the false interpreter is working overtime right now? He don't have to clock in. He never clocks out. You understand what I'm saying? The false interpreter tells you, you know what it is. And I'm just here to tell you, you don't. How many times has revelation come to us that what we thought something was, it turns out to be something completely different? Does that make sense to you that that's happening all the time? Hypocrisy at work. And declaring God all the time, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Doesn't it say that? I'm just saying it slightly different. Never comes to the knowledge of the truth, but always declaring God. I know God. I know God. I know I'm saved. How many times have you heard somebody say that? I know I'm saved. I know this. I know that. I know God. Do they? Do they? Does the manifestation work differently in what you see in their lives? Oh, most assuredly. But they tell me all the time they know God. I had a guy who came here to fix my air conditioning. And I guess he's trying to become a pastor. I don't know what the scoop is, but he asked me one day, he said, Hubert, that's what he calls me, yeah, Hubert. I said, what? He said, are you pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib? in the tribulation, you know, in your theory of how the tribulation works. And I said, well, to tell you the truth, I'm none of them. Oh, Hubert, you have to be. Something's going to be manifest. This tribulation is true. It's going to work. Well, I said, it's true. But what if I was to tell you it's happening in you right now? And that there's no pre, mid, or post-trib. That it's just tribulation because of the word of God inside of you now. And you don't understand it. Oh, Hubert, you can't believe that. So yeah, I do. I do believe that. I don't go along with, you know, people, they ask you these questions because they want to see what side you're on. You know, there's an argument that's going to, they do it for strife and debate. You see what I mean? That's a type of hypocrisy again. That's a type of guile again. I'm a Christian just like you, so I'm going to draw alongside you. I'm going to ask you these questions to let you know that I think I'm saved and I'm testing whether you're saved or not. According to whose standard? Their standard, see? It was very funny. I said, no, I'm none of them. I understand what tribulation is. What is it? I said, tribulation comes because of the word of God and you don't understand it. Really, you think that? I said, yes, I do. You know why? Because I went through it. That's how come I believe it. I went through that. Wow. Oh, Hubert, you can't believe that. Well, we'll talk again sometime. Yeah, we will. It's still going to be the same answer. But yeah, we will. We'll talk again. You give me opportunity, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep planting that word in you until you start questioning your own belief. And then you're going to have to come back and ask me some questions, won't you? That's what's going to happen. I have confidence in the word that I speak. Because you know what? It's not about me. It's about the Christ and the spirit of it that goes into that person. Guys, we don't do the work. God does the work. Every time we take glory unto ourselves, we're being a hypocrite again, aren't we? The glory is not ours. Who's doing all of this work? Who's speaking the word? Who's moving by his spirit? It's God doing that. Has nothing. The Son taught us very succinctly. He said, I don't only do anything unless the Father tells me to do it. And I don't speak it unless the Father tells me to speak it. So in that way, I'm going to be very careful to be obedient to the Father. Isn't that true? We should be so obedient. Because the desire of the Lord is here. His desire is to work fully through you. Every stumbling block that you put there to keep him from working fully, you're delaying your salvation and the salvation of others. Think about what I just said. We always think everything depends on us. What if I told you that what you're doing is delaying your children's salvation or your generation's salvations? What if I told you that the disobedience is putting you so far back, it may bring forth a curse instead of a blessing? Woo! What did I say just then? The curse will come instead of a blessing, and you'll still be praising God. Hallelujah, I know God. Yeah, do you? The manifestation of it is going to be different than what you think. And it'll be seen and known of all men here that know God. It's very important for you to understand this thing has to be real. So this is why this says putting aside that hypocrisy, malice, guile. It has to be put aside. When the temptation comes to do those things, you got to put I'm not doing that. I am not going there. Because this is a part you can do. Remember, it says you lay aside. These things do come, don't they? Oh, they come. Lay them aside. When the temptation comes to do it, lay it aside. Okay? Envies and all evil speakings. Man, envies. Holy. There is so much envy and jealousy working in the midst of us now. You say, how can you say that? I say it because I see it and I also hear it. I hear the envy and the jealousy. Now, I told you guys to do something 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago now. This is 4 weeks ago. How many of you remember me telling you read Ezekiel 31? I said that about 4 weeks ago. I told you to read Ezekiel 31. Remember that? The reason I wanted you to read it, because God has been taking us through this thing about grace, and I want you to see how things started in the beginning in that garden, and how things were. Remember, it talks about the trees, and one had a trees as boughs were higher than the others, and all the others, they started listening to him because they envied him. right? Now I'm going to say something. Listen very closely to what I'm going to say. Adam did eat of all the trees of the garden. Pay attention to what I'm going to say. Adam did eat of all the trees of the garden. Only when he did it, he merchandised what he was and what he had. Do you know the story in the garden is the story of those falls of those immature? And that something happened in them having something related to them and merchandised to them that caused them to envy the great tree that was in the garden? Ezekiel 31 tells the story. So he was supposed to eat of them in righteousness, wasn't he? What if I told you he did what? Merchandise to all the trees. What if I told you he's a type of Lucifer and the same story that happened in heaven happened right in the garden? And you know why? Because that same spirit fell and was in him. Wow. Wow, huh? This is powerful. So is he Lucifer? Remember they were saying we're all Adam? Do we have that in us, you think? Do you think you know why you have it in you? Why are we here? Because we what? We fell. So it was in us, wasn't it? Wow. And in Adam all? I want you to listen to me about this grace. God had already instituted grace to get us out of this. When he breathed the breath of life into Adam, do you realize he put everything in there? The good and the evil, huh? He put all of it in there, didn't he? He put the rest in there. He put everything in there. He put prophecy in there. Everything you can think of came from God's nostrils, his breath, into Adam's nostrils. He had to breathe it all into him because that Adam, after he changes, has to become the what? The second man, Adam, which is Christ. So is his prophecy going forth from the very beginning to be fulfilled at the end as a Christ? Yes. And how's it going to work? It's going to work by grace. It's going to be God doing those works from the beginning. You think anything takes him by surprise? God knows all things, guys. Things take us by surprise. But they don't take him by surprise. He knows everything, huh? He says in one spot, after the determinate counsel of his own will. That is a strong statement. He has determined his will is going to work. Isn't that true? The determinate counsel of his own will. He is going to have these things come to pass because he's God. Who's going to stop him? See? This is what you have to think about. Do you want to be on the winning side? Well, you better be on the side that has the grace working and God working in it so that you can be a winner. We always talk about winners and losers here, huh? Yeah, you can lose much. But what about being the winner? What about running the race that Paul talks about and receiving the prize? Isn't that true? Now, it's different in God. You know, we run races here so that the first one gets the prize, huh? God said, if you run the race, all of you get the prize. That's better, isn't it? Just run. Just run. Because you'll get a prize. Oh, you all come in at different times because we're all in different places, aren't we? But just so you run. Run this race. Run it. And receive your crown. This is what God wants. Everybody that runs will get it. Those ones that are turning back and going the other way or don't run at all, go hide their talent in the earth. They won't run at all. You see how that works? They lose out, don't they? There's weeping and gnashing of teeth waiting on them. There's an outer darkness that waits on them. Whew. Isn't this powerful? Think about what God is telling you this morning. Remember I told you I started off with the desire of God is here. Man, if I could just explain what that really means to you, but it's almost impossible to define by words. But it is of the Spirit, and his desire is here among us. You know what I saw very quickly? I saw a burning tower of fire right here in the midst of us. A burning tower. I mean, flames, bright yellow, bright orange, just burning here. And in the middle of it, the desire of God was saying, as soon as you open up, I'll come. And this fire will enter into you. And it'll burn up all the chaff, and it will bring forth purity. Just rotating here in the midst. The desire of God is here. It's right here, right now, to enter into you. When I come back again, what did he say he was going to do? I'm going to baptize you with what? The Holy Ghost and fire. And he's doing it. He's doing it. So what am I getting at here? Let's go to the next verse. You'll see a little bit of it. As I read this before, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. What's the goal of the desire of the Lord? To grow. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Oh, so milk has a taste to it, doesn't it? Here in the natural. Do you know it has it in the spiritual too? Taste and see that the Lord is good. You will taste goodness. That's what you will taste. It's a discerning. Taste is a sense, isn't it? It discerns things. Eyes see things. Ears hear things. You see what I'm saying? So it's a discerner. You will discern the good as you take in that milk. You'll know it's good for you. And you'll slurp it because you want more. Just like those babies do when they're super hungry. You'll take it all in. You don't want a drop to fall anywhere else, do you? You want every bit of it to come in. And when you do that, you're showing the Lord his desire has been made eminent in you because you want it all. You want it all, don't you? Wow. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Isn't gracious a derivative of the word grace? That the Lord is gracious? You know, that means he's benevolent. He's compassionate. He's kind. He loves. You find out that he's gracious. That the action of grace is moving, which is graciousness. Gracious. That's the action of the word grace. And it will move in you, the desire of the Lord. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men. Now, I tell you, men don't pay attention to this stone. God's trying to plant, set a stone, a cornerstone in them. Elect. Precious. It says this later. God's trying to do that. This is the stone that's Christ. He's trying to set it on a good foundation in you. But listen to this. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Chosen of God from the very beginning. In fact, everything was made through him and by him, wasn't it? This is why God chose this. He chose the anointed one to bring all of this forth so that you could see the anointing in it and get out of your flesh and go into the anointing. This is the whole thing about why he did this. Very powerful, huh? Then he says this, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones. Wait a minute. Are you a stone too? He called Jesus a living stone, right? What does he call you? Lively stones. Oh, wait a minute. So are we the same in his eyes as the sun that is the stone? You are lively stones, guys. Now think about what he's saying. As lively stones are built up a spiritual house, whose house we are. Who's building that house? He's taking stone upon lively stone upon lively stone. And guess what he's building? He's building a house of God. Let me even take it more succinctly. He's building a temple inside of you that is the house of God. And the temple is being built stone by stone. As we are obedient to the things of God, maintain the desire of God in us, and as we trust and have faith and obey, those stones come together and build a house of God for the habitation of his spirit. Isn't that true? So ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Wait a minute. Are you holy priests? He has made intercession for us after the order of Melchizedek, which is the high priest in the heavenlies. Do you become that same priest in the temple that's in you? Yes, you do. Disallowed of men, but chosen by God. You're chosen to be a priest. You're chosen to be a king. God chose you to be that. You are a royal priesthood. Royal. You know why? Because he's the king and you're the son of the king. So that makes you royal. Isn't that true? Woo. He also has lively stones or built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Sometimes we think because we sacrifice and do things in this physical realm that God accepts that sacrifice instead of obedience. Saul thought the same thing. He thought by if he kept Agag alive and brought the sheep and the cattle back and offered them unto God, that that would somehow, how could I say, heal his disobedience of what he had done. In other words, he offered God a bribe. Now, how do you think that sits with God? What can you bribe God with? Lord, I'm going to take these 20,000 sheep and sacrifice them to you. And all these cattle you hear and everything else. God said, I have the cattle on 1,000 hills, dude. What do I need with 20,000 more? That's a drop in the bucket to me. So what are you offering me, really? Well, I'm offering you a bribe, Lord, so you'll forget my sin. That's what I'm offering you. We think by offering things here, you can offer great things in this physical realm. And you can make sacrifices because they are sacrifices. But to be obedient is better than sacrifice. So offer your whole world and lose the soul. You can't offer enough to God. You can't do enough here in the physical to bribe God. What God wants is you just obey from the beginning and you won't have any problem with me. Obey. The sacrifices you make, that's exactly what they are, sacrifices, offerings made unto God. And Saul said, man, we're going to do a whole bunch of offering. Man, we're going to put all those animals on the altar and the smoke is going to go up and it's going to be great and you're going to accept it. God said, nah, he'll become a stench in my nostrils because you never did what I told you to do. So the bribe ain't going to work, man. In fact, I'm kind of vexed about this. I'm kind of angry about it. So I'm going to take your kingdom from you. Oh, wait a minute. Wait, Lord, do you have to go that far? Yeah, I do. Because you've already shown me that you're going to be disobedient and you're not the king that I desired to be there anyway. I've given your kingdom to your neighbor. He actually says the term neighbor. I've given the kingdom to your neighbor, my servant David. He tells him that. Ooh, can you imagine how Saul felt? Because he wanted to kill David anyway, didn't he? And here we go back again. Envy, like in the first verse. Did he envy David? Was he jealous of him? Did he throw a javelin at him and tried to kill him? Did he send armies after him to try to capture him and kill him? Oh yeah, he did all of that, huh? And then God turns around and tells him, I've given your kingdom to your neighbor, David, the one you hate. He's going to be my new king. He's a man after my, woo. Now, why did I say all of that? Do you know that your jealousies and your envies will get your kingdom taken from you and given to another? How do I know that? Take the one talent, give it to the one that has 10. Oh, you think God does that? I know he does it. Rick told me something that was very eye-opening one time years ago. He said, Kenny, some of these people that are no longer with you or people you came in contact with, what little truth they have, you know what God did with it? He took it out of them and put it in you because he's not going to let it go to waste. So they'll go on to outer darkness and whatever. And what they did have, what good was in them, has been given to you. I appreciate it, Lord. I appreciate it. You see how this works? Very powerful, guys. So, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices unto the Lord, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion. Who's Zion? Thou art Zion, aren't you? I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. Now, doesn't he say make your calling and election sure? So are you the elect too? I'm just trying to show you where you're at and that the desire of the Lord is still right here. That fire in a tunnel right here, a tower of it. The desire of the Lord is here. The desire that you should desire so that it'll go in you. That'll come right out of that tower and go right into you. Let this be a start of something. It's time. It's time. It's time to make decisions. It's time to make decisions. If you ever made a decision toward God, this is the time to do it. Why am I speaking in urgency? Because it's not going to be that much more time that God's going to fiddle around with you in those things that aren't real, those things that are hypocritical, those things that have guile and envy and jealousy. Time out for all of that. God said he has put all the tools here for you to overcome all those things. Isn't that true? You just have to be honest, don't you? And then what happens is as he reveals these hidden things of darkness and puts a light on it, you walk in the light as he is in the light. That's what you start. You start following that light and allow God to bring you to a place of everlasting light, because that's what he's trying to do. So he said, make decisions now for your own salvation and welfare. Make them now. The desire of the Lord is here. Take part of his desire now and go forth in it. The spirits of just men made perfect. They're just, but they have to come to a place of perfection. Isn't that true? I believe they're all just here. You have justness in you. You have clean and unclean in you, don't you? You have unjust too, right? You have clean and unclean. It's time to choose the clean, time to choose the just that's in you, what's been given you, what's been spoken to you. And then you have decisions you have to make. Whew. I remember one time the prophet speaks about being in a valley of decision, doesn't he? You ever wonder why it's a valley of decision? Because where are they at? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of, I'm tired of death. I'm tired of hell. So in that valley, I'm going to make a decision to take part of the desire of the Lord. And I'm getting out of here. I'm getting out of the pit. I am no longer going to live beneath my privilege being a son of God and being in a place I shouldn't be. If you're a son of God in a place that you should not be, it's time to make a decision to walk out of it and take hold of the desire of God. You say you're a son, then walk like one. Follow like one. This is what God wants. Man, I tell you, when I walked in here this morning, I was looking at everybody for a second, and then there was a, I don't know how to describe it, Ernest. Just came to me. Spirit of heaviness. Anybody feel that this morning at all? You felt like, another day, another Sunday, another message, another, just here. And I just kind of looked at everybody and I said, holy, well, I won't say the word. I'll say this. It begins with an S and ends with a T. Holy. I said, what is this? And then that song played. King of Glory. King of Glory. Woo. That's all it took for me. Just knowing who he is. He is the King of Glory. Wow. So what's going to withstand my king? Nothing. So spirit of heaviness, you got to leave. We're going to speak the word of God here this morning, and his desire is going to be made manifest in that tower of fire. And we're going to partake of it, all those that will. So here we go. Wherefore also is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. How many times have you preached about belief? How many times you preached about the unbeliever? It's been a while, hadn't it? You think the message has gone over yet? No. I know for a fact it hasn't. Belief and unbelief. We're still talking about it. Why would God keep giving me words over and over again about the same thing, but spoken different ways? This is not the message from last week, but it still pertains to the same thing. What's going on here? Is there a trying of the spirit going on right now to try to get you to understand and see that this thing is real? No play in church. Walk in God. Know that he's real and let the grace work through you to perform mighty works in your world. That's the only way it's ever going to happen, is you believe in that it can happen. Isn't that true? You believe that it can happen, it will happen. You believe it won't happen, it won't happen. That's pretty simple, huh? So does it come down to your perception of what you think of God, whether he's going to work in you or not? Wow. I know God's working in me. And I am not confounded. I am not. And I'm so thankful for that. Glory be to God. I used to be confounded. I'm not confounded anymore. I know my path. I know it. And I know what I need to do. And I know the grace is going to work more powerfully through me more and more as every day goes by. Grace. Grace. God working it, performing the work, moving in it, manifesting it. That's what God's going to do. Learning more patience even in that. Unto you, therefore, which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. So be disobedient. It doesn't stop him from becoming the head of the corner. Hey, Ma, get me a tissue there. It doesn't stop him from becoming the head of the corner. Disobedience and disallowing of God, thanks, Ceci, disallowing of God does not stop the work of God. Isn't that funny how we think things that have to depend on us? What if I told you they don't depend on you at all? It depends on God. You depend on him. Isn't that true? It's not dependent on you. You think because some have not believed that that's going to make the faith of God, the word of God, of none effect? You think that's what's going to happen? Don't believe. See how God still works. Don't believe and see how God still works. Man, there's a whole generation of carcasses out in the desert that said, well, we don't believe. God said, I'll just take the next generation and die then. Die. Whew. Tell me he won't do it. And he took another whole generation in. You're not going to stop the work of God. I don't care what you think or how big you think you are. You're not going to stop the work of God. So it may be disallowed by men, but it's been made the head of the corner in spite of unbelief. Isn't that true? You know why? Because by that being the head of the corner and the house being built there and being on the plumb line and being built right, guess what's going to happen? All that unbelief may get converted to belief. But if he allows the unbelief to keep him from doing what he's supposed to do, nothing gets built. So God's not going to do that. So he'll build the house and everyone that enters in will be blessed. Will be blessed. Wow. So the house has to be built, huh? Unto you, therefore, which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, regardless. And then it says this, a stone of stumbling, to those that don't believe, it becomes that, doesn't it? A stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. How many times has it said that in the last couple times, the last verses, huh? being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Whoa, 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 whoa. I think I'm going to end with this. Well, no, I'm not. I got one more scripture. They were appointed to this disobedience. Why? Why would you be appointed to disobedience? Because of the unbelief, but why? You are a witness of something. Are you meat for those that do believe? You've been appointed unto that because that's the way you were going anyway. When you were in disobedience, God said, okay, this is what I'm going to show those that are obedient. This is what happens when there's disobedience present. You're meat for the ones that believe. Oh my God. Have we seen it? Have we seen it? We've seen it in our midst here. Some that used to be with us aren't with us anymore, huh? Do you want to have the same testimony as that? Do you? So was it meet for us to see as what? So that we can enter in belief and not because of unbelief? You think it was? You think it's for everybody to see and be made aware of and a manifestation of it so you can see what happens and that you can see the degradation of the life as it goes backwards, 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 descending into hell and not coming to a place of understanding. Have you seen it? Don't take it for naught, guys. You've seen it. Here's the last one. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Remember I talked to you a couple weeks ago about being called, chosen, and faithful? He has called you out of darkness so you can be in his marvelous light. He's called you. He's called you with a calling. He wants you to do this, and it's going to happen by grace. You catch hold of the grace of God and believe that God can do all of these things for you, and he will do them. Quit trying to do anything yourself. Do those things. Obey, trust, faith, belief. Do those. These are the things that work toward the grace working mightily in your life. These are the things that hinder it from working mightily in your life. Does that make sense? That's what we have up here, right? The message is still being preached, just different ways, huh? Still being preached. Allow the grace to work, man. Open up the door and let it work. Say, Lord, I'm yielding myself to your grace. Work, Jesus, work. And allow him to work. And sometimes you have to fight self to allow God to work because self may want to do something else, right? Really, that's flesh, isn't it? So allow him to work. God will do great things for you. Hope you got something out of what we said today.